Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when at this time we consider what God's Word says about keeping the Lord's Day, then we immediately notice one thing. In the Old Testament, that day is called the Sabbath. Well, what does that word really mean? Well, it means a stoppage of strenuous effort. A Sabbath, simply put, means a break from daily work. There was some place when the Jews were scattered through the countries around them, then those people found out that the Jews did not work on the seventh day. And the people said, those Jews are lazy people, because one day they just don't do anything. Isn't that interesting? They call them lazy people. Well, the Sabbath means a stoppage from strenuous effort, a break from daily work. And why this interruption of work? Because the Lord God gives this break from work to his people. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, the Sabbath was placed at the end of the week. And thus the Jews also today keep the Sabbath on Saturday. But when we start thinking about the names of the days of the week, then we discover something that you may never have given any thought to. We call today Sunday. Well, that's actually, and we spell that with a U, okay? That's actually a heathen way of naming this day after the sun, because people used to worship the sun. And it's a day, tomorrow we call Monday, and you guessed it, because we worship also the moon. And Tuesday is named after the god Tiw, and Wednesday after the god Wodan, and Thursday after the god Thor, and Friday after the goddess Freya, and finally Saturday after the planet Saturn. And we know that in the olden times, the sun, the moon, the planets were also worshipped together with a host of gods and goddesses. And so the names of the week, with those names, we are really honoring various gods of the heathens. And therefore, we really should call today the Lord's Day. And Sunday is just like any other day, named after some heathen god. But when we speak of the Lord's Day, then we are immediately reminded that this day is to be dedicated to the Lord our God. And so when we talk about this day, we should already be reminded by the name that this day is not to be dedicated to our own pleasures, but instead is dedicated to the Lord our God. But there is really more that comes from thinking about this. For where does the idea come from of a period of 7 days instead of, let's say, a week of 10 days or even a week of 12 days? We are so used to having a week of 7 days, and yet this is not man's invention. It comes straight from God's revelation of his work of creation. God declares that he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and that he rested the seventh day. I don't know where Pope Francis is going with this, because he says that he believes in evolution. And of course, evolution says that it takes an awful long time for things to develop. So there is no 6 days. There is millions of years, maybe billions of years. If there is no 6 days, then there is no seventh day. So you go with evolution, well, you lose your Lord's Day. We are so used to having this that the French Revolution, the people of the French Revolution, the leaders in the late 1700s, they hated Christianity so much that they tried to do away with the week, and they started a week of 10 days. But it never caught on, it didn't work, it didn't succeed, the effort fell flat on its face. And so in spite of the victory of the teaching of evolution, the seven-day week keeps reminding everyone of the words of Scripture that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore, it says, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. There is another matter which you may have heard before, but it is good to remind ourselves again of it. The Lord God created Adam and Eve on the sixth day as his last creative act. Now, there is something in that first chapter of Genesis which we often overlook. There is a difference with the way we measure our days today. We say that today is September 27. Now, when did September 27 begin? Well, at midnight early this past morning. So you go back to midnight, and that's when September 27 began. And when does September 27 end? Well, of course, when we get to 12 again, you know, midnight tonight. So, but how is it in Scripture? Well, then we read in Genesis 1 verse 2 that the heavens and the earth were all dark. And then God created the light. And we are told that God called the light day and the darkness night. But there was darkness night before there was the day. And then God's word goes on telling us, and there was evening, darkness, and there was morning, light, one day. So when did the first day begin? With the evening, with the darkness. And when did the first day end? When it again became dark. So the biblical day ran from darkness in the evening till darkness the next evening. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, it was the last act, and so it's reasonable to say that it was towards the end of the sixth day. And so that was not far from the evening, which was the beginning of the seventh day. So you could say on the brink of the seventh day, God created Adam and Eve. So what was the first full day of the life of Adam and Eve? Well, the seventh day. The seventh day. And because right after they were created, it got dark. So then the new day began. So what was that day, that seventh day? Well, it was the Sabbath, the day which the Lord God blessed and hallowed because he rested from all his work which he had done in creation. And so the Sabbath of the Lord God was actually the first full day of Adam and Eve. They started with a day off. God did all his work of creation before Adam and Eve came to life. And they began their life by resting and rejoicing in the glorious work of creation of the Lord, their God and Creator. Well, today, of course, we keep the first day of the week. And why is that? Well, It's because the Lord Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and also because the Holy Spirit was poured out on the first day of the week. Before his resurrection, before that first day of the week, our Savior, according to God's plan and purpose, did all the work necessary for the salvation and the recreation of God's people and of the whole creation. Through Christ's work during his life and on the cross, he obtained eternal life for all those whom the Father has given him. And thus, in that way, we may and we must say that all God's people rose from death in the Lord Jesus Christ on that first day of the week back then in Judea when the Lord Jesus Christ himself rose. And therefore, the first day of our life as believers, as Christians, is always the first day of the week. And just as we can imagine Adam and Eve on that first day of their lives, can you imagine that? I mean, if you really think about it, you can't picture it. But here's Adam and Eve. They're just created. They're brand new. You know, they weren't born as babies and then had to learn to walk and all those things. And they were fully created, and it gets right after their creation, it gets dark, and then it gets light, and then they walk around in the garden which the Lord God has established, looking at all that the Lord has created, how beautiful it is all laid out in everything. This is how they walked around, amazed at what they saw. They never seen, well, of course, they didn't live long enough. If you start thinking about that, it's just almost, I would say, shatters you, you know, when you think of it. Here, they're created, it gets dark, they can't see anything, then the light comes again, and then they see this world, this garden where they belong in its beauty. They see themselves amazed, rejoicing in God, their creator and keeper. And so the Christian, in the same way, ought to celebrate every first day of the week as the first day of his life in Christ. And consider with amazement and with humble joy the great salvation which the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for him. And just as Adam and Eve must have been humbled by the greatness and the glory of God shown in his work of creation, so now the Christian is to be simply astounded when he considers the grace and the mercy of God, the long-suffering and the gentleness of the Lord God, the lowliness of the Son of God, humbling himself to even the death on the cross in order to make this salvation and this new life a reality. So these then are two reasons why Christians keep the first day of the week, because of our creation and because of our salvation in Christ. But there is another reason, a third reason given by God's word, why God's people are to keep the Lord's Day. And you find that reason in our text. And that reason is that the Lord God set his people free from slavery out of Egypt. The Lord declares, "You shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out thence with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And what we have here is the celebration of the deliverance from never-ending work. celebration of the deliverance of never-ending work. The slaves in Egypt did not have any rest. We remember how they had to make brick with straw, and then the government provided the straw. But then when Moses went to Pharaoh, demanding that Pharaoh let the Hebrew people go for a three-day journey into the wilderness to worship God, Pharaoh became angry and concluded that the Israelites had too much time to think. And thus there was one answer, only one answer, more work, so that they would not have time to think. And so Pharaoh ordered that the Israelites had to gather their own straw and yet make the same amount of bricks as before. And that has always been the answer of repressive governments to requests from the people. They have too much time to think. Let them work from early morning till late evening, day after day, and they will forget all those foolish dreams. But the Lord God reveals himself not as a repressive ruler. He gives his people one day in seven off. For what had the Lord said to Adam after Adam rebelled against the Lord? And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Did you hear that? All the days of your life, not till you're 65, not till you're 70. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. There would be no let up for Adam and his offspring. All the days of their life, they would have to eat bread in the sweat of their face till they would return to the ground. Now, today, of course, there are many people who no longer eat their bread in the sweat of their face, at least not literally. But there are still many more all over the world who really do not know today where tomorrow's food is coming from. And there are also many people who are not bothered by honest sweat on their faces, but who are sweating it out inwardly. And we know how that affects the heart and the mind and can also cause cancer, because often it's not what you eat, but what eats you. And even though it may look that some people are getting a free ride in this life, the word of the Lord remains true and general. In the sweat of your face you shall eat your bread all the days of your life. But the Lord God reveals himself as a gracious God. He tells his people after their deliverance out of the slavery of Egypt, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day you shall rest. You, your servants, and your work animals, this seventh day is a celebration for you of your deliverance from the oppressor. The seventh day is for you a day of joy, and it will be a day of joy and thankfulness unto me, the Lord your God, for I have delivered you and I am giving you this free day. Now, people today, of course, they take this free day for granted. People today will stand up and argue that they have a right to this free day. But before the Lord God, we have no rights. Because of our sin and rebellion in Adam, we are bound to eat our bread in the sweat of our faces each and every day of our life, 7 days a week. In other words, we're never sure of our daily bread. We never have total security. It may seem that the more money you make, the less you have to do, but that's not so. Many people with positions higher on the social ladder often work 7 days a week and spend long hours to keep everything going, especially now with the cell phones and all that. They never get away from work anymore. I read just this week of a couple, and they're both professors, but she's also involved in a number of things, and she is more busy than he is, and they're lucky if they have mom at the table and at the supper table twice a week. That's how busy she is. Well, of course, this is also true for politicians. But the Lord God says to his people, and therewith he says it to you, here is a free day in which you can rejoice in having me as your deliverer and keeper and provider. On the Lord's day, the manna will not spoil. On the Lord's day, thieves will not enter your home. That's a promise in the scriptures. On the Lord's day, you do not have to worry about your income. You do not have to have the store open 7 days a week. When you worship and serve me, you will receive your daily bread for 7 days in 6 days. When you worship and serve me, you will seed and harvest in the 6 days that are there, and I will see to it that you will not suffer for taking the seventh day off work. This is what people often forget. Everything is in the hands of the Lord our God, not only the weather, but also the growth of what we plant and the safety and security of what we harvest. After all, it's his farm and it is his business. As long as we remember that, we can truly take off 1 day in 7. I take today off because it's his farm, it's in his hand. Better as long as we remember that our God, we are commanded to take off 1 day in 7. And what we have gathered in 6 days will last us for 7. And thus we are delivered from the curse of having to work 7 days a week, of having to eat our daily bread in the sweat of our face 7 days a week. 1 day a week, we may rest and relax and really live like kings, even though we have rebelled against the Lord our God. That is what the grace and forgiveness and goodness of our God provides for us. But there is more to this free day. For through it, the Lord God also wants us to focus on him. By stopping us from slaving, he wants us to realize that indeed our whole life really comes from him. It's a marvelous message which the Lord our God brings us with this 1 free day in 7. It's the message, I am your creator. I am your deliverer. I am your provider. I am the one who gives you life. I am the one who causes you to be. Without me, you would not be. You would not exist. I have created you. I have kept you alive. And I have called you to life eternal in my new creation. And by so giving us this day, the Lord our God demands that we recognize that this present life is really a life of much sweat and tears. And is that not true? In the midst of joy, we continue to struggle and have worries. We're glad when we are pregnant, but we worry about the delivery. We rejoice when we receive a little baby, but we're already looking ahead to it growing up and hoping and praying that she or he may turn out all right. We're glad when our child gets married, but then we hope and pray that the marriage may last. And we are proud when they buy a home, and then we worry lest they lose their jobs. And so it goes on and on. We rejoice, and yet immediately we have cause for concern and even worry. There always seem to be dark clouds on the horizon. What does the Lord our God do by setting aside this one day in seven? He is saying, look to me. Trust in me. You can never control every circumstance, but I am the Lord your God. All things are in my hand. Rest yourself in me. Trust me. Stop your rat race once every 7 days and look up to me. And so this is what God requires and gives in the fourth commandment. As the Catechism says in the second part, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works and let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. My evil works, that doesn't mean that what I do is evil in itself. But when I try to find security by my own efforts, whether in this life or hereafter, whether for myself or for my loved ones, then I am involved with evil works. When I am trying to find security by my own efforts, and I am involved in evil works. For only the Lord God can provide. I must indeed let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit. I must live in trust and obedience to him. And to this the Lord's Day points. Every seventh day I am reminded, I am to be reminded of this truth, that apart from his working in me through the Holy Spirit, all my works are evil. And thus it is very clear that when I neglect the Lord's day, I more and more forget this truth, and I become swallowed up by my own efforts. And then I no longer rely on the Lord. People who neglect the Lord's day return more and more to the slavery of building their own life, building their own security. Yet unless the Lord builds the house, they who build it labor in vain. But people who truly keep the Lord's day are beginning in this life already the eternal Sabbath. What does that mean? It means that people who here and now live out of the truth of the Lord's day begin already to live now out of the life of glory and peace and joy which awaits us in the new creation. Eating our daily bread in the sweat of our faces is because of the curse of sin. It's not the way God originally made it for Adam and Eve. This toiling all the days of our life is the wages of sin. But the new creation which the Lord God is preparing for his people will be different. And there the people will rejoice in the Lord their God. They will praise him and they will have perfect peace. And that is called in Scripture the eternal Sabbath, meaning that it will be eternal freedom from hard labor, eternal freedom from worry, from sweat, from tears. And there God indeed will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And there shall be no more pain, no more death, no more frustration, no more injustice, no more farm accidents, no more mourning. Now, when today we live out of every seventh day which our God gives us, then we are already having a foretaste of the way things will be when we get there. then I already begin to taste the benefits of the eternal Sabbath here and now in this life. And why is this? Because when I go to work on the day after the Lord's Day, then I carry with me the message of the Lord God I have received the previous day. And then I go to work remembering that it is not I who have to provide for my daily bread, but that I may ask my Father in heaven to provide for me and to bless the labors of me. And then when I go to work, I will remember that I am not here on this earth to build an empire for myself, but to serve and honor and worship the Lord God, my Savior. And then I remember that I am not here to build my own kingdom, but that I am to serve my God and pray and desire that His kingdom come. And then I do not go hard against it, insisting all the time that my will be done, but longing more and more that His will be done on earth as it is already being done in heaven. It is in that way that a true and faithful keeping of the Lord's Day begins to change my life. It begins to turn me around. But it's also now fully understandable that those who do not truly keep the Lord's Day do not find deliverance from their compulsion to build their own future, their own kingdom. Such people, they do not really find rest for their souls. They get a day off. The muscles may rest, but their souls do not. The tension does not go. There is no refreshing. Often those people are even busier on the day they call the weekend than during their working day. Oh, it's true, you often see the letters TGIF, and those letters mean, if you're a nice guy, you say, thank goodness it is Friday. But most people say, thank God it is Friday. But they do not really mean that, because you do not see those people worshiping the Lord God on the Lord's Day, praising Him for the day of rest He has given us. When we consider all this, then it doesn't surprise us that keeping the Lord's Day is more than warming the pew a few hours on Sunday. Indeed, it means much more than that. The Lord's Day is more than a free day during which we also attend church. When that day means for us focusing on the Lord, then that day is indeed a day in which we can listen to God's word, gather with His people as He calls us together through the consistory, and by focusing on the Lord also means private meditation, a personal reading, even family discussions. You know, many people have told me over the years, Pastor, I'm so busy during the week, I have no time to read, hardly any time to pray. And that's where the Lord's Day comes in. Remember that Adam and Eve celebrated the first day of their lives by walking through God's garden and discovering all the wonders of creation which the Lord God had just brought about the previous 6 days. And so by seeing all God's works, they came to realize how great the Lord God is. Before they started, even the first thing to do, they already realized how great the Lord God is. And so we as people, we must also walk on the Lord's Day through the beauty of the new creation which Christ has obtained for us and which awaits for us at the end of time. Of that, our Lord's days are the foretaste, every week again. And we also remember that the people brought to new life through God's Word and the Holy Spirit on the first day of the week is always the day that they consider this marvelous work of deliverance of the Lord God through his Son. Beloved, there is much to reflect upon in the work of salvation. There is so much to think upon it when we consider all that God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ and is presently doing through him and will do at the end of time. And then to think upon all that and also what is to come, it's much more than we can grasp. And thus it is important that we take time to reflect upon our place in the world, that we consider what the Lord God would have us do in this world as his people, what the Lord would have us do as his church, yes, and where his church is and where we are. Then we can spend Lord's Day after Lord's Day reflecting on that. Why you say, that's work for the minister. I'm too busy for that. Or I haven't got enough education for that. But Peter and Andrew and James and John were just simple fishermen. And many of the early Christians were very common people. Paul writes to the Corinthian believers, "For consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are." You may not know it, but our forefathers spent most of the Lord's days reading either scripture or often a book of martyrs or a book with catechism sermons or some other good reading, or meditated on the messages heard that day. And they also met together to discuss and speak about their faith life. They sought to focus on the Lord their Savior. And it is for that reason that the Lord God has given to us a day free from the sweat of their faces, a day of rest. You know, for many people, the Sabbath day is a bad day. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. Are you allowed to do this? Are you allowed to do that? Eh? It's no good. No, the Sabbath is a day in which you reflect on what God has given you. And that's not, so in that sense, you don't do other things. You reflect, you meditate, you make that day as rich as possible. And you focus on the Lord your Savior. It's for that reason that the Lord God has given to his people. He has given to you. Not to make you miserable. Oh, it's Sunday. No, he has given you a day free of the sweat of your faces, a day of rest, not to do nothing and not to do things that please our flesh, but in order that we may focus on him and be refreshed. I'm sure that you agree that for many church people, it would be a drastic change to so spend the free day which the Lord in his grace has given to you. But when you do that, then you begin in this life already the eternal Sabbath. So how do you spend the Sabbath day? Amen.